Speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
It's cold outside in the world, but it's warm within the body of Christ. We have a warm love and appreciation for one another. And I know that you, like myself, am thrilled just to be able to be inside both physically and spiritually. This morning, I'd like to draw your attention to a lesson that has been prepared with regards to a question that I asked earlier. I don't know if many of you remember, but a couple of weeks ago, I asked a question of the congregation. I asked, are there problems that you face in your everyday life in striving to be a faithful Christian? And if you do, would you please share that with me so that I could be able to prepare lessons that we can all study together and hopefully have God's Word answer the concerns that we have? The struggle that was put before me was this. How do I forgive? It's hard to do. I would really rather take revenge. Now, I dare say most of us, if we would be that honest, would say that's probably about how we feel. We look round about us and people, for one reason or another, seem to do things they ought not do, and that affects us. And when people do that, rather than our wanting to forgive them, what we really want to do is to take revenge. And we all know that's wrong. It's important for us as Christians to learn the meaning of forgiveness. I need to know what forgiveness really is, and I need to know how to express that forgiveness. And reality, forgiveness is something we all get, and it is something we all must give. I have to be forgiven for the things I do wrong by God in heaven and by you. It seems as if all of us from time to time do things that we ought not do. Some of us who speak a lot, like preachers, quite often will put our foots in our mouths. Because we feel like we have something to say, we say things when we ought to be quiet. I admire some of you who know how to, as my grandfather used to say, hold your peace and not say anything. And for that reason, quite often we have to say, I'm sorry for what I said. Would you forgive me? I did not mean it the way that it came out. And I won't. But at the same time, I'm in need of forgiveness. I recognize my needs, and this is something that's not just applicable to a small group within the congregation. This is something that all of us need to be able to study, to learn, and to practice. And though it may seem to be illogical, I thought a lot about what Paul said in Acts 20, verse 35, quoting our Lord. The Lord said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I want you to think, as we go through this lesson, about being a giver of forgiveness. About being the kind of person whose heart is ready and willing to forgive. So this morning I'd like for us to look at three very simple things. I want us to look, first of all, at the nature of forgiveness. I have to understand what it means and how it's done and what the Bible teaches about it. Then number two, I'd like for us to look at the need of forgiveness. How much we all need it and how we need to practice it. We need to practice it. It's in our benefit. It's in our interest to do that. And then number three, perhaps the most applicable part to the question that was asked, nurturing a forgiving heart. How do I develop within me the kind of heart that God wants me to have so that when somebody comes to me and says, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? That I say, yes, I'll forgive you. And I am more than glad to welcome our friendship and our love and our brotherhood back to being what it ought to be. Let's start with the idea of the nature of forgiveness. Have you ever thought that you knew something that you really didn't? Have you ever been convinced of something which you really were not accurate on? I have. In fact, I do that quite often. And when I start looking at forgiveness, there's some false views of forgiveness that people come up with. And let me address a few of these to you. First of all, forgiveness is not just ignoring the person who has wronged us and acting as if we don't even know that it happened. There are a lot of people who allow things to occur and do things, and they act as if, well, I'm just not going to acknowledge it. That's not forgiveness. That's not releasing of a debt, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Just refusing to be hostile and not take revenge, that's not forgiveness. We never have the right for hostility. We don't have the right for revenge. But just because I'm not a hostile person, I know that some of you's character is to be nice. And you'll be nice even if someone offended you. It's also the case that some people are fearful of taking revenge and they're not willing to let go of the wrong, but still they're not going to be hostile. And it's not putting the offender on probation until that person proves themselves. It's not a person being able to say, okay, now, I will forgive you in the future as long as you don't do anything else like this again. But if you do, forget the forgiveness. That's not the way God treats us, and that's not the way we're supposed to treat other people. There are seven words in the Bible. There's three in the Hebrew Old Testament, and there's four in the Greek New Testament, which are translated by our one English word, forgiveness. And of these seven words, there are several different ideas that are found there. The idea is that of a pardon. Someone maybe has done something wrong, and you pardon him. We're going to look at that in Luke 23, verses 16 through 18. And I think you can see it immediately once you observe it there. It also expresses the idea of a release from a debt. Someone owes a large amount of money and you forgive the debt, you release them from it. The word atonement, where two people have been estranged from one another, and it's almost like the word of reconciliation, there's a forgiveness of the faults. And then the word that is sometimes translated divorce, or in the King James American Standard, putting away. That word is also that God puts away our sins. He separates our sins from us. And then forgiveness is an act of the mind and of the will releasing someone of the wrong or the debt of the wrong. An act of the mind and of the will. I can choose to release someone from that debt. Let me give you an illustration in Luke 23, verses 16 and following. Pilate, having Jesus there, wanting to release him, and we might say pardon him, had him there and he says, I will therefore chastise him and release him. For it was necessary for him to release one of them at the feet. And they all cried out at once, saying, away with him, or away with this man, and release to us Barabbas. The word release, release, release is the same word for forgiveness. It's the idea of you let someone free. If I have sinned against God and God forgives me, it's like Him pardoning me from my sins and releasing me. One of the most misunderstood aspects of forgiveness is that of conditions to forgiveness. God has conditions before He will forgive, and God has instructed us there are conditions for our releasing someone. Let's look at these. First of all, there has to be a desire on the part of that person to want to be forgiven. He's got to seek it. You don't just express it. This person has to want it. If a person doesn't want forgiveness, you can't forgive them. Let's say here's a man who goes out and tells a lie against you. And he tries to defame your name. He has sinned against you. If this person says, "Hey, I did that on purpose and I'm glad I did it and I'd do it again," you can't release that person from that. Second of all, one must have a penitent heart. That is, they're willing to repent of what they have done. They're sorry for what they have done. And they wouldn't do it again if they could. And then number three, they must ask. Let me illustrate this to you. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 39. And there in 1 Kings 8, "Then hear from your dwelling place, and forgive and act, and give to everyone according to his ways, whose heart you know, for you alone know the hearts of the sons of men." What we find here in 1 Kings 8 is that God can look down at our hearts and know the desire that we have to give to everyone according to his ways. God can look at my heart, God can look at your heart, and He can tell whether or not we actually are sincere in our desire to be forgiven. It's just like now. Do you want to be forgiven of your sins? Do you want your sins washed away? If you've got that desire and you follow through, you can. Second of all, in Luke 17, verse 3, Jesus is instructing His disciples about forgiveness. He says, "Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him." Notice, here's a brother who sins against you. What do I do? I say, "Well, I'm not going to talk to him anymore." No. You rebuke him, which doesn't mean just go up and be ugly to him. It's as in Matthew 18, verse 15, "Show him his fault between you and him alone." Show him what he's done wrong. Let him see it. Then, if he repents, forgive him. There's a condition there. What if he won't repent? What if he says, "No, I'm not going to change"? You can't release him from that. In Numbers 14, verse 18, Moses writing, "The Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But he by no means clears the guilty." Now stop just a second there. The second line of that on the screen says, "Forgiving iniquity and transgression." God is a forgiver. But now look at the third line. "But he by no means clears the guilty." Well, how can God be a forgiver and not clear the guilty? It's because these are penitent, their hearts desire forgiveness, and these people don't. God doesn't clear the guilty, those who sin and they don't want forgiveness. In 1 John 1 and verse 9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." If we confess, if we're willing to ask and say, "God, I am sorry, I have sinned against you." The nature of forgiveness involves conditions. Now let's move to the second idea, the need for it. Before I can ever fully grasp my need to forgive someone else, I have to look at myself very carefully, look at my own personal need for forgiveness, and then to understand the enormous debt that I owe. In fact, if there's one part of this lesson that will help you perhaps the most, is to understand the debt I have. You know, I often get a chuckle every time I see this commercial. There's a fellow that has his family and he has everything all beautiful, a big nice house, nice car, belongs to the local country club, and he's riding on a lawnmower in the front of his house, and he says, "I'm in debt up to my eyeballs. Somebody help me." I laugh at that. And I think about that man and his life and how bad his situation is, and he feels like he can't do anything. Do you know what? We're just like that man, only worse. That man can somehow find his way out of that. But you and I have a debt we cannot pay. We owe more than we could ever hope to pay. That's part of this understanding. Follow with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 7. Now, these two passages here in Luke 7 and Luke 18 are so important. The background is Jesus has gone to the house of a Pharisee. It says, then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman of the city, or in the city, who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, a fragrant oil, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now the Pharisee who had invited him, Saul, spoke to himself saying, if this man, if he were a prophet, would have known what manner of woman that this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him the more? I want you to observe before I go to the next slide that will show the latter part of this verse, or this passage. There is a debt that is owed. Both men owe a debt. Both men do not have the ability to pay. Both men need forgiveness and are asking for it. Put it in our society today. Imagine you go out and you buy a $20,000 car. And the first person pays it down to $10,000. They've had half of it, but they've lost their job. Now they don't have the ability to pay for it. And here's another man bought that same $20,000 car, but he paid it down to $1,000. Even though he's paid $19,000 of it, he doesn't have the ability to pay that last part. And here is the creditor. And he says, okay, you're forgiven and you're forgiven. Both of you have your debts paid. Now Jesus said, which will love him the more? And Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss. But this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little forgiven, the same loves little. Simon did not appreciate the forgiveness. He didn't extend to the Lord even the common courtesy of washing his feet and anointing his head and the customary greeting of a kiss. Sometimes people don't appreciate what the Lord has done for them. But I don't care how good of a person you are in desperate need of the Lord's forgiveness. All of us are familiar with the passage of Matthew 18, 10 through 14. There are two people went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank You I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this tax collector. I get fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And he's standing far off, would not, the tax collector standing far off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat himself on the breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Whether you are Simon, or you're the Pharisee in this passage, these people did not recognize their need for forgiveness. I hope you recognize your need just like I have to recognize my need. Ezra 9 and verse 6, Ezra said, Oh my God, I am too ashamed and too humiliated to lift up my face to You, my God, for our iniquities have risen higher than our heads, and our guilt has grown up to the heavens. There's a man who understands his need. If You, Lord, should mark our iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with You, that You may be feared. If any one of us had to stand before God and have our sins read off, would You want the Lord to stand here and say, okay, I've got my pencil and I've got my piece of paper. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You get the point? All of us are daily in the need of the forgiveness of God. Now, only when I understand the need that I have, can I then develop the heart of a forgiver. And it's essential for me to understand this. Ephesians 4:32, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you, just as. Or Colossians 3 and verse 13, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave, you also must do. If I've got a complaint, look what God did for me. Or in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. That's pretty simple. Now finally, nurturing a forgiving heart. I'm really now starting to answer the question that was asked in the beginning. How do I forgive? I would much rather take revenge. I've got to remember that the Bible teaches us that we have to be taught properly to forgive. Peter will ask that question in Matthew 18, verse 21. Let me remind you that when it's insignificant, small matters, it's honorable to pass over it. Let's say, for instance, I go to the back this morning, and on the way out, someone makes a little bit of a cutting remark. What's the best thing to do? Jerk you over the side and say, now I want you to understand, you've offended me. No, because most times people might not even understand what it is they did, and that wouldn't be appropriate. And the truth is, I'm not going to do that. Y'all know that. It's an honor to pass over these kinds of small things. Don't wear a chip on your shoulder. Don't be the kind of person looking for somebody to offend you. And forgiveness has to come from the heart. From the heart. Matthew 18, 21, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up unto 7 times? Lord, said Peter, I don't say unto you to 7 times, but to 70 times 7. Peter, you need to understand forgiveness is not just something that you sort of parcel out real slowly and hesitantly. No. If your brother comes to you 7 times in a day and says, I repent, forgive him. I might take it once. Stretch me might take it twice. 70 times 7. I need to be taught about that. Proverbs 19:11, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. Now, what he is talking about here are not what we might call great offenses, but small transgressions. In Matthew 18:35, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if you, each of you, from his heart, does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Now, after understanding that, what about the grudge? What about the revenge? I never have the right to hold a grudge. I never have the right to execute revenge. Leviticus 19:18 says, you shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. I can't bear a grudge. I can't take vengeance. Going to the New Testament, Jesus explained, you have heard it said that you shall love your neighbor, but hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. The second part of that statement in the beginning, how do I forgive? I really don't want to. What I've got to learn is I have got to, from my will, from my intents, I can rule over it. You know, there's a lot of things in the Bible that God tells me to rule over. One of them is what I do. And so I don't bear a grudge against you. I don't hold ill will to you. I don't mistreat you. I respond to your meanness, to your sinfulness, to your badness with righteousness. Because that's the way God does with us. Romans 12:17. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place for wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Perhaps the greatest challenge we have is to remember who we are. We are a forgiven people who are in constant need of mercy. I have to remember who I am. You have to remember who you are. We all are in constant need of mercy. Number two, we need to always put ourselves in the other person's shoes. When someone says something to you that appears to be a little bit harsh, what are they going through in their lives? What kind of troubles have they had? Do they have a right to even be angry and upset? And maybe I need to understand where they're coming from. Or if I look at how I've mistreated someone, do I understand how I've grieved them and hurt them? Seeking and extending forgiveness brings about peace and harmony. This morning, if there's someone in the audience that has aught with someone else, resolve it. Don't keep carrying that burden. Forgiveness is not always easy, but forgiveness is always necessary. I've got to do it. And God desires to forgive us. I want to end with two last passages. Who is like God, like you? Pardoning iniquity, passing over transgression of the remnant of your heritage. But He does not retain His anger forever because He delights in mercy. God wants to forgive. And then the passage that Brother Rodney read for us earlier. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. You're not a Christian. God wants to show His mercy to you. He wants to forgive your sins. If you believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized. And the Lord will forgive you of your sins. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. If you're one of God's children and you need to come home, why not come now?